Okay, if you didn't hear a word I just said, welcome. I'm Amy. It's nice to be here this morning, and thanks for the guys taking care of this in the background. And I'm so eager to jump in this morning. We've been going through our essentials series and talking about what are things that are really, really important. And one of the things I have loved about Ashworth Church and being on staff here and being in this community is that we all come from like very different backgrounds. And even when people are like, you go to a Baptist church, you preach at a Baptist church, you know, I'm like, it's different. We're all, you know, there's like such a mix of folks in this room. And I love that we have a lot of things that maybe are non-essentials that we think differently about, but there are these essentials that we have to say yes to together. And so I'm gonna continue on this morning by talking about the Holy Spirit. And as I jump in, I wanna show you a video. So this is a video that my husband Matthew showed me a few weeks ago. He watched this in a grad school class and he showed it to me, and that's all I'll say.
This is an awareness test. How many passes does the team in white make?
Go!
Okay. Shout out your passes. How many passes? 13 online, put them in the chat if you have a, if you differ. Anybody disagree with 13 passes? Any other numbers represented? No? Okay, you're good counters. Okay, let's see how many passes there were.
The answer is 13.
Good job.
But did you see the moonwalking bear?
There he is. How did you miss it? The moonwalking bear, are you surprised? You're pretty chill about it. When Matthew showed me, I literally was like, that's a different video. That's not what I watched the first time. And he was like, no, trust me. How did I not see the moonwalking bear in the midst of all the basketball players, right? My question this morning is, have you ever had something significant right in front of your face and you totally miss it? Well, this morning I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit, the essential of the Holy Spirit in our faith and in our lives. And I think that often the Holy Spirit is essential. He lives in us. We see him. He's active. He's present all around us, in us. And yet, we totally miss him. He's like the moonwalking bear. In fact, a number of years ago, I remember reading with a bunch of students, we read a book by Francis Chan called The Forgotten God. And I was like, I resonate with that title as a Baptist, you know, The Forgotten God. It's like the part of the Trinity that we forget. So this morning, I want to remind us about that moonwalking bear. I want to remind us what's right in front of us as we think about life with the Holy Spirit. So just as we have each week in our Essentials series, I'm going to read and let you read Ashworth Church's, our official statement on our belief of the Holy Spirit. It says this: the Holy Spirit is equal with God the Father and the Son of God. He's present in the world to make people aware of their need for Jesus. He also lives in every believer from the moment of salvation. He provides the Christian with power for living and acts of service, understanding spiritual truth, and guidance in doing what's right. And growing Christians seek to live under the Holy Spirit's control on a daily basis. So out of Ashworth's statement and out of some things I've seen in Scripture and experiences I've had in my life, I want to break down this morning, why is the Holy Spirit an essential as we think about the things that are most essential in our faith and as believers in Jesus? Well, the first thing is simply that just what the statement says, that he's a third part of the Trinity. He's a third of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is equal to God and equal to the Father. And isn't it funny, because I could not imagine if we had this series and we were like, oh, there's questions about whether or not God is essential, or there's questions about whether or not Jesus is essential. But I think often as believers and the way we live and act, I do think often we feel like, oh, there's questions about whether or not the Holy Spirit is actually essential. It's like the underdog of the Trinity. We did a few years ago at this church, we did a series that we called The Other Guy. Can you guess what it was about? The Holy Spirit, because he's like the other guy that we're like, oh yeah, the other guy. The Holy Spirit is not, though, the other guy. The Holy Spirit is equal to God, equal to Jesus, and he is a third of the Trinity. So clearly he is essential. If we say God is essential, if we say Jesus is essential, then we have to say that the Holy Spirit is essential. And then the second reason he's essential is because you see him all through Scripture. Now, many of us would think, when you first think of the Holy Spirit, you think of the New Testament, right? We think about Pentecost, we think about all the things that happened with the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. But the Holy Spirit has been around since the very beginning of the story of God, since creation. In the very first chapter of Scripture, Genesis 1, it says, "The Spirit of God hovered over the waters." The Holy Spirit has been present since day one. And then we see all throughout Scripture, and I'm just going to give you a few examples. In the Old Testament, we see that the Holy Spirit came upon certain people, prophets, to give them visions and perspective of what God was doing. He came upon certain leaders. I was thinking about Joseph, like giving Joseph dreams and then the ability to interpret those dreams. Think about prophets and Joshua, Daniel. There's so many stories from the Old Testament of where there was a certain person in a certain situation, under certain circumstances, where the Holy Spirit moved or spoke to empower them, to give them wisdom, and to help them lead. And then we see in the New Testament, again, he's all over the place. We see him early on in the New Testament at the baptism of Jesus. And I think this has been referenced in this series before, but I love this passage because it shows the three parts of the Trinity. So Jesus is baptized, and as he comes up out of the water, it says the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit ascended onto Jesus as a dove. And that's an image that we often think about when we think about the Holy Spirit. And then you hear the Father's voice saying, "This is my son and I'm really pleased with him." And this is what happens right before Jesus starts ministry, right before he goes out and begins to minister to people and heal the sick and raise the dead. The Holy Spirit empowers Jesus to go and do those things. And then we see that there's a promise from Jesus to his followers, to the apostles, to the disciples, that he says, "I'm going to leave." As he's starting to get ready to leave, he's telling them, "This is what's going to happen to me. And I know you're sad and I know you're confused, but don't be, because I'm going to leave with you the gift that is the Holy Spirit. When I ascend into heaven, I'm going to leave you the Holy Spirit." In John 14, he says, 14, 16, and 17, he says, "I will ask the Father, and he'll give you an advocate, the Spirit of truth. And he'll be with you forever, and he'll live with you, and he'll be in you." And then I love, if you keep going on in that, a few verses later is when Jesus says to them, "It's actually better that I'm leaving, because when I leave, this gift of the Holy Spirit will come and will indwell all of you, and you'll all have access to him all the time. You don't all have access to me all the time." And so we learn that Jesus will give the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will be with his people when Jesus ascends into heaven. And then I think finally, just most noticeably in Scripture, like one of the things that we probably think of immediately when we think about the Holy Spirit is Acts 2, right? Pentecost, thinking about what happened on the day of Pentecost. Jesus had ascended into heaven. The disciples, the apostles, people are waiting, gathering together in a room, waiting. Jesus said, "Wait for the Spirit before you go out and begin to minister." And they waited. And you see this very dramatic move of the Spirit, the wind and all the noise in the room. And the Holy Spirit comes as like this presence or this force and rests in that room. And that's when you see flames on the people's heads. And we think of, often we think of fire too. We think of the dove and we think of fire when we think of the Holy Spirit. And then after that moment, everything changed. These people then were empowered. Peter goes and preaches this crazy, bold sermon, and all these people become followers of Jesus. People start to go out, and people become followers of Jesus, and they're baptizing people in Jesus' name. And everything changes as the Holy Spirit comes at that moment at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is essential, amen? He's essential because he is God, he is Jesus, and he's essential because we see him all over Scripture. From the whole story of God, the Holy Spirit has been present. And then we see that the Holy Spirit is essential because he lives in every believer. I want to know what my experience is of the Holy Spirit. I want to know what I get as a follower of Jesus. One of the things I get is the Holy Spirit being with me. That changes my life, right? He lives in every believer at salvation. And of course, there's different interpretations of like when you experience the Holy Spirit and depending on where you grew up and your denomination, how you understand Scripture. But we do believe that there are times when you have an indwelling or a filling of the Spirit, or there's moments when we're in this room. We've experienced it often where we feel the Holy Spirit come and move in a place, and he does that. And you see that in Scripture too, just like at Pentecost. But we believe that as you have, at the moment you have relationship with Jesus, you also receive the Holy Spirit as well. And the Holy Spirit lives in you, and he's with you. And I love this because this is not just, I'm not just running through dry theology or facts here or apologetics. This is amazing. God lives with me. God dwells in me. God dwells in you and you and you and you. Like, that's crazy that our God, do you remember when, I think it was Brent, or I can't remember who preached, but Brent and Ryan talked about God. And how God is omniscient and omnipresent. He's all these incredible, amazing things, and we're just in awe of him. And also, he lives in his people. That's wild, right? It's amazing, really, truly. John 14, I referenced it earlier. He'll be with you forever and live in you and be in you. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, don't you know that you yourself are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you. The Holy Spirit reminds us that God is not this big, amazing, distant God who watches and moves, but that God is those things, and God is also a present God who is with, incarnate with his people. He takes up residence in his people and in the lives and the hearts of his people. And we also learn throughout the New Testament that the Holy Spirit is not just with special people, right? In the Old Testament, it felt like you had to be a prophet or a leader of something really significant for the Holy Spirit, or a priest to be able to access the presence of God or the Holy Spirit of God. But in the New Testament, we see that change. With Jesus, he says the Holy Spirit will come, and he's for all people, no longer just Jews, no longer just priests or prophets, but every person who follows Jesus, who knows him and has relationship with him, gets to experience that experience of the Holy Spirit, gets to have close relationship, incarnate relationship with Jesus. And we learn that he doesn't exist in spaces either. And I think about the story of like the woman at the well, John 4, when Jesus begins to reveal to her, she says to him, like, isn't the place that we, you know, I'm not a Jew, and the place where Jews must worship is Jerusalem. Essentially, I don't have access to the Holy Spirit, you know, and to the Spirit of God. And he says to her, oh, no, a time is coming and has now come when actually you'll worship in spirit and truth, and it will be anywhere. It won't be on a mountain or a temple or a certain location. The Holy Spirit will live anywhere. The Holy Spirit is not in temples or religious spaces. And I think in our brains, we understand that. But don't we sometimes actually forget that? And we think, oh, I can only access the Holy Spirit if I'm here in this sanctuary, or if the conditions are right, you know, or at this certain place, or when this person preaches, or whatever. But that's not true. There are ways that we've seen, you know, patterns where like, oh, God seems to move, and we get to experience the Holy Spirit in certain places and with certain people and when we're gathered. But the Holy Spirit is not limited to buildings and spaces and certain special people. The Holy Spirit lives in each believer and in every space, because he takes up residence in his people. So wherever his people are, the Holy Spirit is. And I've talked a lot about who the Holy Spirit is, but the key to why he is essential is that he greatly impacts our lives. He impacts the lives of believers. I think the Holy Spirit is essential because he's a key role in the life of the believer. And I'll start with this. He is a convictor. John 16 says that when he comes, he'll convict the world concerning sin. And I'm getting this one out of the way, okay? Because this is true. But if you're anything like me, and you grew up in the church that I did, or something similar, I really only thought the Holy Spirit, I didn't really like the Holy Spirit. I thought the Holy Spirit was only for, you know, would make me feel bad when I did something wrong, you know? And there's truth to that. The Holy Spirit nudges us, and we've all experienced that. We're like, ooh, we shouldn't have done that. And I feel the weight of that. But often we stop there. That's sad. When you stop at just the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you don't know the Holy Spirit, and you're not accessing all the parts of the Holy Spirit. There's so much more. I love the word that's used over and over in Scripture, and that's that Holy Spirit is an advocate. And it's a Greek word called paraclete. And what that means is it's bigger even than how we understand advocate. It's like a helper, a defender, a promoter, a protector. The Holy Spirit is, and one translation I was reading talked about how the Holy Spirit like champions us. It champions us to do what we're supposed to do, to do what God has created us to do. The Holy Spirit is a support. We also know from Scripture that the Holy Spirit is the one that guides us into truth, that gives us wisdom when we need it. The Holy Spirit is our counselor, one who counsels us as we're enduring many things, or comforts us. I love all the passages. There's a passage of Scripture that talks about how when you're brokenhearted, when you're crushed in spirit, the Holy Spirit is extra close to you. He's our comforter, our counselor, our advocate, our paraclete, helping and defending and promoting and championing us. Don't you want to have access to that? Don't you want to pay attention to that moonwalking bear? Like, please, I need that. I need all those things. And as believers, the Holy Spirit is the one that produces fruit. Galatians 5, a familiar verse, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are not the fruits of Amy Becker. These are not the fruits of my hard work and labor. These are not the fruits of me training myself and giving myself more skills to do these things. These are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. That's what they're called. If I long for love and joy and peace and patience, which I do, and goodness and self-control, amen, then I need the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit offers. And again, those are not fruits of me. Those are fruits of the Holy Spirit. And as I'm in close relationship, accessing the Holy Spirit that lives in me, in relationship with the Holy Spirit, and listening to the Holy Spirit and leaning on that advocate, I experience the fruits of the Holy Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience and all of those things. And also, the Holy Spirit is the giver of gifts, and I love this too. One of my favorite parts about the Holy Spirit is he empowers us. He empowers us for kingdom work. As we've been learning, when we talked about humanity and salvation, the whole plan of God is that the world, the kingdom of God, would become what's reality, and that things would be made right, and that wrongs would be made right, and that injustices would be made just, and that the world would be as it should be. You know how that happens? That happens through God's people doing what they're supposed to do. God empowering his people. It talks about, there's a word in Scripture, I'm sure many of you have heard this, but it's the Greek word, the Holy Spirit power word in Greek is dunamis. That's 100, it's listed 120 times in the New Testament. And it's all in reference to the power that the followers of Jesus receive when they receive the Holy Spirit, when they experience the Holy Spirit. We are empowered to go and to participate in kingdom work. God gives us gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12, he talks about how God gives wisdom, or the Holy Spirit gives wisdom, knowledge, healing, miracles, discernment. The Holy Spirit is not just this nice calming presence that like gives us peace every now and then, or that nudge of conviction when you've done something wrong. No. Those things do come from the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is so much more than that. The Holy Spirit is power. The Holy Spirit empowers his people to do kingdom work. A life empowered, producing fruit and living out gifts from him and doing things that we could never do on our own. And the Holy Spirit is all of these things. Depending on, you know, again, your denomination or how you grew up or the church that you've affiliated with for most of your life or the way you read scripture, I think sometimes we see the Holy Spirit overemphasized. Sometimes we see the Holy Spirit ignored or diminished. And as I was thinking and thinking about my own experiences, even here at Ashworth, I'm like, oh, I'd say we lean more towards the side of ignoring or diminishing the Holy Spirit. But we can't do that because the Holy Spirit isn't essential. The Holy Spirit is not inconsequential. And many of us have lived that way. But I do believe that God is inviting us to lean in and let the Holy Spirit change us. So what keeps us from doing that? Why do we diminish the power and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives? There's just a few reasons, but I think, one, I think we do it because of ignorance and inexperience. For me, this was me for a long time. I grew up a good Baptist pastor's kid, you know, and I just didn't really know the Holy Spirit. Like I said, I knew the Holy Spirit as a convictor. And I remember getting with some friends and starting to learn some different things and meeting Matthew, and I started learning about the Holy Spirit in new ways, and it blew me away, and I became kind of obsessed for a while. I'm like, I love this part of you, God, that I didn't know. I didn't know that you wanted to empower me. I didn't know the ways you wanted to equip me and speak to me. I didn't know that I could hear your voice and listen and you would speak, or that you would use me in powerful ways. I didn't understand that part of the Holy Spirit. And Brent is going to talk a little bit about this next week, but I think sometimes, again, since we're talking about the essentials in our faith and as Ashford and as a Baptist church, I think sometimes what happens is we have overemphasized the written word of God and experiencing the written word of God. And in doing that, we've actually underemphasized, we've forgotten, we've neglected the experienced word of God just because of our own inexperience or our own ignorance. And then I think the second thing is that we just get distracted and we're really busy, right? I totally resonated with the video, which the video, Matthew didn't show me that to be like, isn't this like the Holy Spirit? He's just wanting to get a reaction out of me. And after watching it, I'm like, that's the Holy Spirit. That's like the Holy Spirit, you know? He's working and moving and he's right in front of my face and I'm busy passing the dang ball or counting how many times the ball gets passed, right? And I think that happens in our lives, right? We get busy doing our jobs and doing all the things that we have to do. And some of those are even religious activities, studying our Bibles and having our quiet times and doing church stuff. And those are all good things. But sometimes we get distracted and we don't actually notice what God is doing. Often we invite him into what we're doing. God, help me. God, bless me. God, I need you. But how often do you stop and ask God, God, what are you doing? Holy Spirit, what are you doing? What are you doing in this room? What are you doing in my workplace? And how can I join you? And then I think we just have a lack of dependency. We don't make the Holy Spirit essential because typically as Americans, we lack dependency. We're used to doing things all ourselves, right? My job, I can't remember. Matthew and I were talking about, like, when was the last time we felt like if God doesn't come through, if the Holy Spirit doesn't do something, we're screwed. You know, it's been a while. And I think we have created our whole lives to actually, to be so that we don't have to be dependent on anything besides ourselves, right? We always strive to have enough. We always strive to have what we need. Our whole lives, our jobs, our work, where we live, our friends, all of our things are so that we don't have to be dependent. It's like, I need to take care of myself. And I remember one of the summers that I was in Ethiopia just sitting around with some of my friends who were doing ministry there as Ethiopians, and we were talking about the Holy Spirit. We'd just been to a healing service, and we were talking about how our white American folks responded to that. And it was funny because I explained to them that, like, a lot of people have not had experiences with healing or anything charismatic in the U.S. There's, like, only certain churches that would call themselves charismatic or believe in, like, kind of the today power of the Holy Spirit. And you know what they did? I'm not kidding you. It was not subtle. They laughed, belly laughed. People laughed and laughed and laughed. And they were like, what do you mean? What do you mean? I was like, oh, no, like, there's many people who don't understand or believe, or that we call them cessationists. They believe that the Holy Spirit, gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the move of the Holy Spirit stopped moving in power, you know, with Jesus. And we have scripture, we have all these other things now instead. And they just could not fathom. Because, like, in Ethiopia, they're like, oh, Baptist, Lutheran, Methodist, Catholic, it doesn't matter. We need the Holy Spirit, and we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, because we don't have a choice, you know? In some ways, there's just been more dependency or more need. Like, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to get the health care that I need, you know? I'm gonna need to pray and ask God to heal me. I think in the U.S., we often do not have the dependency on the Holy Spirit. We've created our whole lives so that we aren't dependent. And then finally, I think it's just fear. Fear that there's, like, this lack of control when you really invite the Holy Spirit to speak or to move, right? Like, what if he asked me to do something I don't want to do? Or he might invite me to some risk that I'm unwilling to take. I think people think, like, I feel like the big one's always like, oh, he's going to ask me to move across the world and, like, give up my job. And, you know, probably not. Maybe. He's going to ask me to, like, give away money and I don't have excess money, you know? But sometimes he just asks you to minister to the person in your office. Sometimes he's just asking you to give a little bit to somebody in need that you know, right? There was a number of years ago, I remember, this was right after I'd really been learning about how the Holy Spirit empowers you and how the Holy Spirit speaks. And if I would stop, and I started to kind of train myself to every morning when I would get up to say, Holy Spirit, what are you doing today? What do you want to do in me? What are you doing around me? Will you show me? And I just tried to get in the habit of that daily. And I will be honest, I've been out of that habit. But I asked, Holy Spirit, what are you doing? Show me. Will you reveal something to me? Like, can I have some insight? Is there something you want to use me in? Like, let me know. And one of those days, I went to Panera, and I had some lunch, and I was just working on my computer and writing some things for work. And I kept noticing a woman in the restaurant. She was a few booths down, but I could just get a glimpse of her face every now and then. And she was by herself. She was just eating lunch, and she was an older woman. And she wasn't looking at me, but I was looking at her. And I just kept looking at her, which might be kind of normal. I do like to engage with people I don't know. But not like this. Like, I had no reason to connect with this woman. And I just kept noticing her. And then I would feel like my heart stirred. I don't know how to describe it, but it was like I could feel. And I'm like, oh, I think it's the Holy Spirit. I think the Holy Spirit is telling me something about this woman. Like, okay, so I sat there and prayed for her. And it didn't go away. And I just kept looking at her. And so I thought, well, I guess I'll go talk to her. How weird is this? What do I even say, you know? So I got up and I went over there and I said, can I sit down for a minute? She said, okay. And I just said, hey, I'm Amy. I said, this is really weird. I'm so sorry if this is freaking you out or this is really weird. But, like, I've just been here eating lunch and working and I just keep noticing you. And, like, I just feel like my heart somehow keeps being drawn to you. And I think it could be God that's doing that, like the Holy Spirit that's doing that. And is that true? Like, is there anything that you need from God today? Like, is there something maybe that you need prayer for or something? And she just begins to cry. And she was like, oh, I'm on a break. My husband is in the hospital right now. He's at Mercy. And he's dying. And I just came here to have a to get away for a minute and to have lunch. And so she just cried and cried. And I was just able to pray for her and bless her and tell her, wow, God like wanted to speak to you, or like God wanted you to know that he's thinking of you because he used me. And she just couldn't believe that. It was just this sweet moment. And I was like, I can't believe God used me like that, you know? And then it made me like, after that, I can remember so many times being like, Holy Spirit, is there somebody in here who needs, you know? And I would do that. Ask Matthew. I have many stories of interacting with people. But again, it wasn't me. It wasn't Amy. It wasn't the fruit of Amy. It was a Holy Spirit in me and me listening and paying attention and then doing what he asked. Don't you long to do that? I think the fear is so sad, because is there anything better than partnering with God? Is there anything better than that moment and like the feeling I felt walking away like, God used me? That's so crazy. There is no better feeling than that. That is what Jesus is talking about when he talks about abundant life, being used by God in relationship and connection with the Holy Spirit. Don't you long to experience the advocacy and the help of the Holy Spirit and all the fruits of the Spirit? And don't you long to live empowered by the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit? It's right in front of you. Don't miss it. And I want to close with this scripture. This is one of my favorite scriptures about the Holy Spirit in the whole Bible. Romans 8:11 says that if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Do you hear that? The same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. The same Spirit that brought Jesus to life lives in you. The same Spirit that transformed people in Scripture, transformed Saul to Paul, that same Spirit lives in you. The same Spirit that empowered 12 very ordinary guys to go to begin the whole work of the kingdom of God on earth. And it's working. It's happening. That same Spirit lives in you. The Spirit who gives love and joy and peace and patience lives in you. The Spirit who gives gifts of wisdom and knowledge and healing and miracles and discernment lives in you. And he wants to empower you. Do you want it? And if you do, invite the Holy Spirit to speak to you and to show you and to reveal things to you.